This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lead Singer Syndrome. So, first order of business, if you tuned in last week, I have done it. I have gone the whole week, now 10 days of no drinking. So my New Year's resolution has been going very, very well. Thank you to the people that emailed me. Sorry, I've had a rough week. I tell you I haven't been drinking and then I say I have a rough week. No, but for real, it's been a very busy week for me. You know, I've got this solo thing that I know I've been very, very secretive about, but the news will be flooding in shortly all about that, so not much more time to wait. So, sorry if I haven't gotten back to you this week with the emails. Please, though, if you ever want to say anything to me, email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I will try to get back to you as soon as I can. Another thing I've been doing this week, like a lot of people, I've been binge-watching the show Making a Murderer on Netflix. And, wow, that show has really occupied a lot of my thinking. And I would love to exchange some theories. I finished the 10 episodes, and now I'm reading all about the case online. And if anyone hasn't watched it, it'll blow your mind. So check that out, Making a Murderer, and send me an email, and let's chat, shall we? Today we have a great show. As always, we got Bo Boken of Bless the Fall. He's married to Lights, another lead singer, which is kind of similar to Jason Butler from Let Live last week. So he talks a lot about that. He's a new dad. We get into that stuff. And also, even though he grew up in Southern California, apparently he was a huge hockey player as a kid, which is also crazy. So it really is a great conversation, and I've known Bo a long time, so it was great to sit down, actually right here in my apartment in Toronto. That's where we did it. So some show news. We have some huge names that we've booked for the show, and I wish I could spill the beans and just tell you guys right now who they are. Unfortunately, I can't do that. Maybe we'll start doing some teasers and stuff so you guys don't have to wait until, you know, Monday morning, like Christmas morning. I hope that's how it is for some listeners to find out who's on the show. But we have some great guests. So I'm just reminding you guys, if you're not subscribed, if you're listening to this again on like SoundCloud or something, please go to how you listen to podcasts and hit the subscribe button. That will really help us out. And also write a review on iTunes if you can. That helps us out. I love all that stuff. Also, I haven't been promoting the hate line. It's been a little dried up lately. So please, 657-666-HATE. Please let me have it. I love the hate. Give it to me. And as I've mentioned for the last couple weeks as well, we got this Amazon referral link set up. It's super easy. If you're going to buy anything off Amazon.com, all you do is you go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. It takes you right to the homepage of Amazon. You log in as you normally would. And the only difference is when you buy something, it costs you absolutely nothing, but the show gets 4% of whatever you buy. So if you spend $100, we get $4. And if 100 people spend $100, we get $400. Is that right? Is my math right? I'm pretty good at math. Yeah, so, you know, that's the idea, is to get a bunch of people doing this, using this Amazon link, and it will really help us out and pay for some of the costs and help the show grow. So let's jump into it. Here it is, my conversation with Bo Boken of Bless the Fall.
Talk about.
Oh yeah. I'll talk about it all. Whatever
okay.
You
So here we are with Bo Boken from Bless the Fall. Yes. And you've just told me it's your very first podcast.
Yep. We're here. I'm nervous now that I really get to think about it. I don't want to screw this up, I want everyone to think I'm a cool podcaster.
Yeah, I don't know. So far,
well, you know what? Before we get going, what people can't see is we have like an amazing view of which lake is this again?
That's Lake Ontario.
Of Lake Ontario, and there's a sweet airport, and there's planes taking off over us.
That's right. And yeah, so, we're at my apartment in Toronto, and yeah, I guess it's a pretty sweet view.
Close your eyes and picture it right now.
Yeah, I've lived here for just over a year now, and I guess maybe it's like kind of worn off.
Yeah.
A little bit, but you know, and the trains go by too, which you know, you're leaving that part out, but. No, it's nice here.
Yeah, it's
Toronto's
awesome.
Nice. And now you're not a Canadian, officially a Canadian, but you are married to a Canadian and you live in Canada. How's that going for you?
It's awesome. I got the permanent residency card. And so now when I come to Canada, I pop the card out and I feel real official. And I'm like, yep, there you go. Slide that over. There's my, and they let me in. And before it was like, why are you here? How long are you staying? What are you doing? Who's your girlfriend? Yeah. What do they do? Where do they live? What, you know, it was like 100 questions.
Yes.
Have you ever been arrested? Why? You know, and I'm just like, oh God, they're not going
to
let me
in.
Would
you say they're nice to you now?
They're pretty nice to me, actually. They're really? Like, welcome back.
Really? Mr. Welcome Boken. Back. You get a welcome back. That's not
I get a welcome back to the States too. They go welcome home when I go back to the States.
That's right. So do you do the thing where you like use one passport to get in and then the other one, like, you know, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. I'm not sure. I've heard before you're not supposed to do that, but I don't really understand why you can't.
So. Yeah, it works for me.
That's good. So, and you're here in Toronto with your wife. Mm-hmm. She's doing some promo stuff.
Yeah.
You've got your little one here. I guess most people that know you
know.
Yeah, they know about what you know. What's up with your life, and they know about your little baby girl Rocket. How old is she now?
She's a year and a half, and it's been crazy, man. Like she's growing so much, and she loves Bless the Fall.
She does already.
When she comes to the shows, she sits side stage and waves her hands up and down. She probably just sees her dad jumping around like a monkey and probably just thinks it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like she's just like, she gets super excited and like very engaged and it's awesome to see. And in fact, we have there's a video on my phone of me stage diving on the last day of Warped Tour. And she goes through all the videos and I just kind of let her watch whatever, you know, she's a whiz on the iPhone already, like way better than I am.
That's crazy.
So she scrolls through the videos and plays different ones and then looks at me. And so she always goes to that one and she's like, jumping, jumping, jumping. Like she says, jumping, and because she sees me fly off the stage, daddy, daddy. So it's really cool to see her like being stoked on something like that I do. You know what I mean? Something that I love so much and I have so much fun doing.
Absolutely.
It's cool to see that she's kind of engaged there,
absolutely,
you know?
So I mean that it must have been a real whirlwind in your life when all of a sudden, I mean obviously there's the whole, you know, you're getting ready for it, you have 9 months to prepare for what's going to be, but mm-hmm. I don't have any kids myself, but you know they always say you can't prepare.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
With your schedule, your wife's schedule, mm-hmm. that must have just been crazy when all that kind of came to a head.
Yeah,
no pun intended. Yeah.
That's a good one.
No pun intended.
It was pretty intense. Like you said, you really can't prepare for it. There's no other better way to describe it. You sort of know it's coming, and you can buy some things, and you know you buy the diapers, and you buy all the different things. And Lights actually was performing up until about 7 months pregnant, and before we announced it, and she was hiding it pretty well. She just wore like a big flowy shirt. And people were just like, oh, that's really cool and trendy. She's got this big giant shirt on. Like
wow.
No one could really tell. And so she's like a champ, man. She was in the studio recording till labor. Like literally that day she went into labor, she goes, I think we're going to have a baby tonight. And she's in the vocal booth. And I'm sitting in like the you know, tracking room or whatever. And I'm just like, what? She's like, no alarm, just I think we're gonna have the baby tonight. So you know, it's been a total whirlwind. We've had to just really plan things a lot more carefully. You know, it's going, okay, so when are your days off, when are my days off, when, you know, when can I come out and see you? And and like this right now, what's happening here, it's like she's got press, so I stayed home with Rocket for a couple of days, flew out with her, we're doing this, she goes to the UK, I go to LA, and Rocket's going to hang out with me for like the longest period of time we've been together alone. It was like,
wow.
I think we're going to do like 6 days alone. Right. And so, you know, and, it's just cause it's too expensive to fly all three of us out there and,
yeah, I get it.
And stuff like that. So she's going out there for press and stuff. And like I said, it's it's kind of a circus, but we tried to keep her happy and keep her calm, and she's just like such a great kid. Like, you pull into like a different hotel room every few nights, or like things like that, or like we're staying, you know, down the road here. It's like you just make it home. You know what I mean? It's kind of like us touring. It's like you make where you go home. You make your bus home. You make these places home. You bring things that you love with you to feel comfortable. So that's what we do with her. She's got an iPad with like Caillou and Cat in the Hat on it, and you know, her favorite toys and books and things like that. And so you just make it home for her wherever we go. It's pretty crazy.
It is absolutely intense. Crazy. Not only is just the fact that you guys are both, I mean, touring musicians, both kind of like in the peaks of your careers, the ages that you are, all that, that is so crazy to me. But the other thing that's kind of interesting is like this podcast is called Lead Singer Syndrome.
Okay.
And the whole thing is that, you know, we're talking about what it's like to be a lead singer, and you're in an interesting position because you're married to another lead singer.
Yeah.
So what is that like? Do you guys sit in, like, lay in bed and talk about vocal melodies and like do vocal exercises together before you brush your teeth? Or
that's funny because she's, I mean, like, way more talented than I am. First of all, she is like, she can play every instrument, she writes everything, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm kind of like, that's really cool how you can do that, you know. I'm kind of like, but no, there are a lot of times where you run into things like when you're on tour, and if your significant other doesn't tour, they don't understand kind of what you're going through. Like, say you're having a shitty soundtrack and everything sounds like ass and you're fucking pissed off about it and the press sucked that day or something. You know what I mean? Like, I can say that to her and she goes, "Oh man, I'm sorry." And knows what I'm talking about.
Sure, exactly.
Like, my fucking in-ear, like the left ear went out and then like got RF in it, and she's going, "Oh man, that's the worst. They should like get you a new paddle or something." You know, like she just gets it. And so it makes touring and it makes being away that much easier because she knows like what's going on, you know? So, but you know, she's helped actually, she's helped write melodies with me before as well. We did a song together on our last record, and then in the newest record, we right across the way, no one can see where I'm pointing, but I'm pointing at a building next to
a building next to my building.
There's a building next to the building that we stay in when we come into Toronto. And I was recording, there's a song called Dead Air on the record, and I wrote these melodies, and actually she helped me write the pre-chorus melody, because I was like, listen to this, it kind of is like a major key and stuff, and she was like, oh, why don't you do something like this? I'm like, that sounds so sick, yes. So we recorded the demo right over there, and people were like calling and complaining, because I was like, I had like a sheet over my head in like this living room, this not our living room, it's like we're renting this place, I'm singing as loud as I can, then she's singing it so I can like hear it, and people are calling like the owner of the place and being like, there's people yelling at the top of their lungs like next door to us, and
they keep yelling the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, like the same words. I don't know, something might be wrong.
Sometimes it's a little higher, it might be a harmony.
No, they said and now there's a girl singing, they called again, and now there's a girl singing there. So they got like multiple,
this melody is just in my head and it won't get out.
And then we heard it on the radio. So it's really cool to be in a relationship like that where she totally gets it. There's nothing that she really doesn't get that I'm going through out on the road, and it helps, and it's special, and I definitely don't take it for granted. I'm definitely stoked on it.
I guess it works both ways too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I guess for her too, to have someone there that's understanding what she's going through.
Well, she goes the other day, she goes, shows me an email. Which beanie should we use? She's showing me merch.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
she's like, oh, should we use this on the cutoff or should we use this on? And I'm like, yeah, that would be sick here. And like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, sweet. And so you're like sharing like merch design ideas. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
but is it tough to separate that? Like, you know, I mean, for me, like my whole life is my band pretty much. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like everything I do, like you see my apartment, like you came in, there's like a guitar here. It's, you know, I can never, it's always difficult for me to separate myself and my life from like my music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of what helps me separate it is that, you know, my girlfriend, she loves music and she plays a little and sings a little bit too, but it's not her profession.
Sure.
So there's a little bit of separation for me, but for you,
yeah,
is that difficult ever? Like to be, both of you guys together and you're both kind of thinking about it and you both know you can talk to each other and you understand, but maybe you don't want to talk about music or touring or whatever.
Yeah. I think the separation is maybe the music styles and the, you know, like she deals with a lot of radio and things like that. It's definitely different styles of music. You know what I mean? And different types of tours where, you know, she's taking out like one band on tour and we got like five bands in a whole package. So there's a little, there are differences, but, I think that, you know, there's obviously a point in time where you don't talk about it. You just don't focus on music. You just concentrate on your relationship and what you're doing in your lives and your child, you know, and things like that. So, we've learned to just, there's a time where you just kind of leave it out and focus on other things that are important and go on vacation.
Right. That's what vacations are for, I guess. Yeah. Well, plus, and your daughter likes your music better than hers.
Oh, man. No.
Well, you said at the beginning that she was, you know, moshing and around the house and seeing dad. Yeah. So there must be some competition there.
Yeah. Here's the thing. She, when Lights has a show, she'll wear her headphones and she'll fall asleep. When she's at our show, she's like, she wants to jump around and like party, but it's a different vibe, right? Like you got five grown men like losing their minds and shaking their heads around and stuff. And it's like, and then, you know, Lights' show is like more visual and obviously she's engaging as well, but it's not like a big circus.
Oh, I understand.
You know what I mean? So the kids love the circus. So
I guess so.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess I want to get into a little bit of how you started with like music and singing and everything, because you said it's your first podcast. So, I mean, it gives you a little more time now to kind of talk about you grew up and you discovered punk rock or hardcore or metal or radio rock or whatever it was. And you joined a band. And then like, how did that early kind of part of your musical upbringing, and especially specifically with singing, how did that like all start for you?
Man, my family is super talented. Like a lot of people in my family play piano and guitar and all this stuff. And I always felt like I was kind of not that. Like I was in like choir. Like I went to Catholic school and in choir and I wouldn't sing. Everyone else is singing. And I'd be so embarrassed that I was like, I don't know. And like I wouldn't sing. So my mom just figured I wasn't going to be very musical, you know, like, okay, whatever. Like she put me in piano lessons. I didn't really like it. But I got into originally like first music I loved. And I went out and bought a cassette tape of it was hip hop. It was Dr. Dre. It was like the Chronic, right? Like it was.
And
my
you're
first,
in California at this point
I'm in
too,
Southern
right?
California.
Los Angeles. This is like
the riots are happening very soon after that, and I'm in the middle of it all. I'm like in the hotbed of
Compton.
I'm very close to Compton.
Bobo can grow up in Compton.
Yeah, I was about 25 minutes away from Compton, which is close enough for me.
Close enough.
Maybe a little close to 20 minutes. But when the riots happened, we had ashes all over our house and our car and stuff.
Wow.
So it's like, that's how close you are.
So it was
like, you could
so
jump in a car, go down
you.
There and go loot if I really wanted to. I remember my neighbor was talking about it. I was like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm cool. So I was into hip hop, gangster rap, all that kind of stuff. And, in my best friend was into like Metallica and Guns N' Roses and things like that. So he's like bringing me and like Megadeth, and he's like bringing tapes over to my house. Listen to this tape. And I'm going like, oh no, it's all right. I got Snoop Dogg, you know, it's whatever. Like, and it's true. I was like such a hood rat, dude. It was weird. And finally, like, I remember he showed me like, it was like Black Album or something like that. And I was like, whoa, this is like, you know, amazing. And then like I kind of went back in the catalog with like Kill 'Em All, Red Lightning, things like that.
Sure.
I'm like, this is so sick. It's aggressive in its own way. I think that's what I liked about gangster rap. It was super aggressive and like, you know, and it was like not like a normal safe thing. You know what I mean? It was like,
so was this, okay. So you're saying your two favorite types of music growing up were gangster rap and heavy metal
and
thrash metal. So like, and you say you like this anger, was that, were you an angry kid?
I think I wanted to be a gangster. Like my best friend was kind of this like cholo kid. You know, I grew up in a predominantly Mexican neighborhood.
Yeah.
99.9% Mexican. I'm half Mexican. You wouldn't be able to tell, but, and so I just thought the lifestyle was cool, right? Like you gotta wear baggy pants and tag on walls and listen to this music. And I don't know. It was a little bit just rebellious from Catholic school. You know what I mean? And so when I started listening to metal, I was like, wow, this is, this is crazy. This is amazing. And then that's the gateway. So Metallica was like my gateway to everything else. And it was punk rock, NoFX, Minor Threat, which at that time was kind of like opposite, right? Like NoFX was kind of talking shit on Straight Edge.
Yeah, the Straight Edge
like
song, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then I think Green Day is in there, eventually Blink-182.
Sure. So, so you have all these like punk bands that sort of start taking influence on your life.
Yeah.
And I guess it must have taken over your life in terms of, I don't know, like the direction that you were going, I guess, too. Like, tell me about your upbringing in high school and stuff. Like, were you like a punk rock kid in high school? Yeah. Like, you played basketball and sports, I know. So, like, what were you like in high school?
Punk rock jock. I was like, so by the time I got to high school, I was playing hockey. I was, you know, going to, my first show was, I think it was Blink-182, 97.
Okay.
I went to like a backyard gig before that or something like that. Like
yeah.
some band called the Canker Sores out in Pasadena. I don't know. And it was like Mohawk backyard thing. But my first show was Blink-182 in 1997. I remember like it changed my life. It honestly did. It's so cliche to say like, you know, something like that changed your life. But it actually did. Old Riverside, right?
Riverside. So, okay.
I was like, yeah, like Less Than Jake, Homegrown, things like that. All the typical like bands that toured together back then. And I was just like, this is insane. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever witnessed and felt and experienced. And I crowd surfed for my first time. I ran around Tom DeLonge and stage dove, you know what I mean? Like, no one's ever going to get to do that again. so like, you know, just the way that it impacted me, I was like, I want to do that. And it really was, it's hard to like, I think it's hard for a lot of people to pinpoint the moment that they, you know, musicians to figure out when they want to do music. But for me, that was the actual moment. Like when I went home that night, I couldn't sleep. I just kept thinking about the show. The next day at school, I was like telling everyone about this concert. And I was like a freshman and no one was going to like shows back then, you know, like that young, I guess, you know, okay. I think it's still kind of young to go to a show on like a school night.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, so, you know, I'm telling everyone about the show and everyone's like, that's so fucking cool, man. Like, that's crazy, you know? And I was just like, I want to do that. I want to make a crowd of people feel the way I felt. I want to make them forget about all the other shit that's going on and just have a blast and just connect with the music and the lyrics and the energy and the almost like camaraderie a lot of times with the crowd, you know, like you're standing pushed up sweaty against some other person that loves what you love, that probably listens to that band in their bedroom, in their car, wherever they're going, just like you do. So that was awesome for me. And I was very serious about hockey then as well. So it was kind of like this push and pull of like, I have a show tonight I want to go to, but I have a game tomorrow on this, right. You know what I mean? Like I started like traveling for hockey. I went on independent study. So I got pulled out of high school. I was dyeing my hair like 20 different colors. So it was like this push and pull of like, I have music posters all over my wall. My mom's like, why don't you have hockey posters? Like, you know what I mean? Cause that was all my time and energy was put into.
How did you get to hockey? Cause in Southern California, that doesn't seem like, I mean, I know the Gretzky came in 94 and
sure.
hockey got more popular all over the US, but, and especially in Los Angeles, but it seems a little weird for a kid to like grow up playing hockey in California and not basketball or baseball or something.
Yeah.
How did that come about for you?
I did play basketball. I did play baseball. I didn't play competitively. But I liked all sports.
Bo's pretty good at basketball though. Anyone, I've seen him play. He's pretty good.
I'm all right. I could be better. I need to work on my,
he's
my jump
good.
Shot.
But, I've seen him do like a 6-3-60 jam.
I wish.
On an 8-foot net. On an 8-foot net.
I would give a finger to be able to slam dunk. Is that bad? Like,
I think most people,
I would give my left pinky if I could slam dunk.
If we grew up
in
the Jordan era, then most people would say the same thing.
No, about hockey is funny because there's an ice rink, and where was it? It wasn't super close, but my dad would take my little sister ice skating, and my little sister would go to work with my dad, and he'd take her ice skating, and then he'd be like, "Hey, do you want to go?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" Like, I've never ice skated, like whatever, like let's try it out. And so I would rent the shitty like figure skates that they'd have there, and I was like, "This is so fun! It's so fun!" And I'd kind of just. You know, like some neighborhood kids would like ghetto kids would like play hockey like in the parking lot.
Crazy,
like,
yeah.
It was really weird how...
I'm surprised they were even able to get sticks.
Dude, honestly, like you could go to like Big Five and get like a real shitty like... Yeah. You know, street stick.
I mean,
and
even now, like when we're on tour and we try to find hockey sticks, like a lot of cities you can't get them.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, this is some people that have seen the Mighty Ducks will think this is kind of cool. But remember Mighty Ducks 2 when they like have to like find themselves and they go out and play roller hockey with like those ghetto kids?
Uh-huh.
One of those kids lived blocks away from me. One of the kids from the movie. So he actually... That's not far from reality because he was the one that would gather the neighborhood kids to go play in this parking lot. And so he was one of the kids from that movie that actually did that in real life. He would like be like, come on, let's go play like hockey. And we're like, what's hockey? And they're like, let me show you.
What's hockey?
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, it was just something that like, I love skating and I had a blast and I played these shitty little street games with like on your feet and like rollerblades and stuff. And then a family friend of my mom's had a kid exactly my age, and me and him like hit it off. We're like, hey, we're buddies now, you know. Our yeah. moms are friends, and he was super into hockey. And he goes, why don't you? We should go try out for a team. Try okay, sure. You're like, you don't know how.
Crazy,
like,
yeah.
Whatever, man. Like, you know. So my mom suited me up the day of tryouts. Typical my mom, because she was late to everything, and like suited me up like at Big Five. I bought all used gear, had my mouthpiece in, everything, like skate guards, ran to the car. I was late for the tryouts, dropped me off. I ran into the rink, pulled my guards off like right on time, like got there. So this was tryouts, and I had to stop, right? You had to go up to the blue line stop, red line stop, you know, whatever. And I hadn't stopped yet. I hadn't hockey stopped. I hadn't done like the
yeah.
Like, you know, I had yet to do that because I'd always rented skates. They were always dull and shitty. So now I had my own skates and I'm like, oh my God, I hope I can stop. Like that's part of this tryout is to be able to stop, period. You know? So my first hockey stop was in my first tryout. I was like skating. I like turned. I was like, oh, I did it. I stopped. I was like, mind was blown. Like I just couldn't believe I had done it. Right. But
quick sidebar yeah. for my hockey career. So I wanted to play hockey. I grew up here in Toronto. Like that's
hockey hotbed. It's
yeah,
a hotbed.
Right. And so I wanted to play hockey, and my dad, who played hockey, was like no, he can't. I was like five.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, nope, can't play hockey till you learn to skate. Got to learn to skate first.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, well, I think if he signed up for hockey, he'd you know learn to skate.
Yeah.
Nope, got to learn to skate first. So I went on the ice, and I. My mom had these skates that she got like, you know, secondhand. Yeah. So it was like a skating lesson where there's like a huge amount of people, right? So at the beginning, so I'm there and my mom says she's watching me like, wow, he doesn't look like he's can even stand up.
Oh,
what's going on? So all I remember, it's like a bad dream remembering it, but it really happened. They, at the beginning of the skating practice, they called everyone like to the, you know, the end boards. And everyone skated there. And I would skate, fall, and I couldn't even get up. And I kept falling down. And then finally, everyone's there, and everyone's just, like, laughing at me the entire thing. It was, like, straight out of a bad dream. And so I got through the skating lesson. It was horrible. My mom says, there's something wrong with your skates. There must be something wrong with your skates. So I go to the store. I get the brand new, like, Tacks or Bow or whatever.
Yeah.
Get them all sharpened up.
Oh, no.
The short version of the story is it wasn't the skates.
Oh,
it was just the lack of talent. And I end up being like a decent baseball player and basketball player in my life. And I'm like fairly athletic at things. But I'll tell you, man, like skating, it's still
tough,
isn't my thing.
Man.
I still struggle skating. So.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, it's just I think it's some people just like are just. Kind of natural at it, you know, and like some people work really hard at it, but it's like it is a weird thing to have those skates on the first time and get out there and your ankles are like, what do I do with my ankles? Like,
it's true.
I'm going to fall back and crack my head. Like, it's super tricky.
Well, then after that, whenever like we had school trips and in Toronto, it was very common to have like field trips to go skating.
Uh-huh.
And
you're like,
so,
nah, I'm
yeah, I would
over
try
here.
To cough, be sick in the morning. I don't want to go.
No.
And then my mom, like, because my mom didn't work, so she was always like the helping out at all the field trips.
Yeah.
So then she got me this like terrible, like, you know, the old Jofa helmets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had like a green Jofa helmet that I had to wear. My mom wouldn't let me take it off.
You're not going far with that helmet on.
Oh God, it was the worst, but
that's crazy.
Anyway, so we're way off track, but
that's all right.
So I want to talk about, so you love hockey, you love music, yep. and you kind of came into a point in your like teens, I guess, where you kind of picked music.
Yeah, yeah. It was a point where
you started
like,
a band, obviously, or joined a band. Yeah. What was your first band?
My first band is called Take the Crown.
Okay. You guys did some stuff.
Yeah, we did some stuff. We were signed, you know. it was funny because I always asked my buddies, I'm like, come on, let's start a band. Let's start a band. They're like, what can you do? I'm like, oh, I'll just sing. I just thought it was so easy. I was super tone deaf. Like the first, if you listen to our first demo, it's actually god awful, and I'm embarrassed about it. Like it's even like someone could get a hold of it. Like it scares me. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to go to singing lessons. You know, like
right.
So I took some lessons and stuff, and just another demo with my buddies from Band Seosin. They had their own studio in their garage and stuff. And so Chris, actually their bass player, he's one of the reasons why I can actually sing. And like, he just pushed me and pushed me and pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. And I was in the booth for hours and hours and hours and hours till I got it right. Till I figured out, he would sing it back to me and I would have to just copy him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so he really like helped a lot. And then we had this EP and then got signed off the EP with Rise Records and put out Let the Games Begin, it was called. And we,
bit of a hockey reference perhaps,
bit of a hockey, yeah. It wasn't any like Donnybrook or Drop the Gloves or anything, but which would have been cool. But we did that and had some management and actually got put out on our first tour ever was in the UK with 18 Visions, which is crazy, right? It was in 06.
That is crazy. Yeah.
And because they were really good friends of ours, they're like, dude, just come with us to the UK. We're like, okay, sure. Like, you know what I mean? So we all put our money together and bought plane tickets and went out there and played with them. And it was awesome. It was super
cool. Long
way
from home.
Long way from home. And then the second tour was with Lost Prophets, and that was in the States. That was like their last like States tour.
So you toured with the American band Europe and the European band in America.
And they were like, we're going to bring you out to England. Like we hit it off with those guys, you know, and they were playing arenas and stuff out there.
Yeah.
And then did a tour with Amorosa. It was actually our first like States.
Wow.
Our first like States tour after being signed. So yeah.
It's crazy.
And then didn't work out, obviously. Bless the Fall kicked their singer out. And
that was a crazy thing. Cause I mean, I've known, Bless the Fall before you were in the band.
Yeah.
We toured with them before. So I know Craig pretty well.
Yep.
And of course everyone else. So that must have been
07 was when all that kind of went down.
But that must have been tough for you. You must have been pretty stoked too. But like, what were you feeling like? How did you come in the band? Like, you submitted like an audition tape or what was it?
Well, basically my roommate worked for Science Records, which was Bless the Fall's record label. She would come home from work and brag about Bless the Fall every day. Like, listen to this song, watch this music video. Like, she loved them, right? So when they kicked out Greg, I was the first one to kind of know about it. Like, oh man, they lost their singer, you know? I'm going, that's crazy. She goes, you should try out. I'm like, well, my band just put our album out. Like, we literally just put our record out. So I go, well, thanks, you know, but I'm going to try this out with our band, you know?
Right.
So we did the touring, did everything, and I was working construction and I was like in debt and all my money went to gas and food and rent. And, you know, it was hard, you know, it was really tough. And it got to a point where like, we weren't getting any bigger. Our label wasn't giving us tour support. You know, at first they were, and then they weren't. And so we're like, dude, we can't tour without tour support at this point in our careers, you know, like careers.
Right.
And so, we came to a point where I was like, where we all kind of decided, all right, we're going to give it another month. Nothing happens. Nothing picks up. You know, that's it. And so at that point, I told my roommate, I go, let them know, like, I'm interested in trying out. I don't think this is going to work out with my band. And she emailed, like, she hit him up and they're like, dude, yeah, cool. Like, we heard the stuff. It sounds sick. Like, they heard my old band.
Yeah.
I go, I don't scream or anything. So, you know, like, yeah. I know, like, Craig does both, you know? And so they're like, well, can you fly out to to try out for, you know, come sing a couple songs, you know, like practice with us. I'm like, sure. So I learned a couple of their old songs. They sent me demos, actually. They sent me like Hey Baby, which is,
oh yeah.
And I wrote that on a lot, like it just went to my car.
Like they wrote you just the music.
Yeah. Just sent me Hey Baby, the music. I went to the car, wrote a verse and chorus and recorded it on GarageBand, sang into it awfully. I don't know why they thought it sounded good, but they were like, that sounds sweet. But I like sang into like a laptop, you know? And sent them that. They're like, cool. Flew out, did like four songs, showed them. I had like, there's a song called To Hell and Back. I wrote like a chorus and four and sang that for them. We went to McDonald's, took a break, came back, did another song, and everyone one by one left the bedroom or like left the room.
Yeah.
I was like, where the fuck's everyone going? And I'm like sitting there by myself. I'm like, all right, they don't want me in the, like, this is pretty obvious that I'm not the dude for the gig. They had tried out, honestly, about 50 other people by then. So right. I'm like, oh, they're over it. I walk out into the lobby. They're like, Eric goes, so you want to do this? I'm like, do what? Like, I thought he meant like leave or go somewhere. He's like, do you want to be in the band? I'm like, dude, fuck yeah, man. Like, cool. So,
okay.
That was it. That we went from there. Yeah.
Great. So, well, how much younger are those guys than you?
Jared is the oldest, and I think he's 28.
Okay. So, yeah, so you're quite a bit older than those guys.
Yeah.
Was that dynamic coming into the band? Like, did you feel at all like you knew more than them, kind of? Or was it almost the other way around because they already toured and they were already in a bigger band and stuff? Like, they already had fans and you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. It was an interesting dynamic because I'm pretty immature for my age. At least back then I was
still pretty immature.
I'm pretty immature. I'm like the goofball. I'm doing like pranks on them and like, you know, all that shit. Like Jared came out to California and spent the night, first time ever. Like I met him. He came out to write together and I like set a camera up and scared the shit out of him while he was sleeping, you know, like things like that. And so the dynamic worked out. Like I kind of brought some more fun to the band as well. Not saying that they weren't having fun, but it was like I brought more like a lightheartedness to everything.
Well, I can comment on that too because the first tour we did with those guys, and I mean, I don't know, people might not know the story, but Craig actually left the tour.
Yeah.
We were in Europe and he left the tour in the middle. And they didn't know what they were going to do. And it was actually me that, like, well, it was half selfish because I didn't want them to go because then we wouldn't have a support band. But it was also because I wanted them to keep going because I liked them. And I was like, look, you guys should, you know. And I kind of convinced Jared to do the screaming.
Wow,
and,
I didn't know
and
that.
And Eric to do the singing.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They played as a four-piece.
Yeah.
And they were bad.
Yeah.
And then I was in talks a little bit about them getting a new singer and everything when it happened. But at that point, you know, they were like a Christian band.
Yeah.
That's kind of their thing. None of them drank.
Yeah, yeah.
They were very straight laced. Every night we shared a bus. So we had what we called the kids table.
Yeah,
where they would go in and we'd all be like drinking and stuff downstairs and they'd have their little like upstairs lounge where they'd be watching movies. And one time I went up there and the four of them were up there and they're all like cuddling watching Titanic. It's like, whoa.
That's
so
awesome.
You guys have, so I guess you definitely brought in a bit of more of a,
yeah,
a party,
party.
Atmosphere.
Even though I don't drink,
even though you're, yeah, even though you're
I condone the
guy.
Partying, though.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, party, I'll drive.
There you go. I back that. Okay, so you came in and you were this new guy, in a band that had already released a popular, you know, successful record with another singer, and then he went on to join another successful band.
Yep.
Did you feel like, was that hard for you to deal with? I mean, there must have been people on the internet being like, we bring the old guy back. And I mean, even maybe to this day, you might still get,
yeah, you get like
stuff.
One or two,
even though you've done like four records now with the band or whatever, but like, how is that? How do you deal with all that stuff?
I shut it out. And honestly, we didn't get as much shit as, I didn't get as much shit as Craig did for joining Escape the Fate. Like he got a lot of shit for it. Like a lot of heat and really brutal. Like their fans were kind of brutal, and Bless the Fall fans were, I think, a lot more accepting, and they were very appreciative that the band could continue rather than like, fuck, bring back the old guy. It was more like, yes, we can, we're gonna get another album, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so honestly, like, it was a couple things here and there, but for the most part, it was a huge, huge backing, and that made me a lot, you know, that made me relax a lot more, and I was like, this is really cool. Like, their fans are actually really good, dedicated fans, and they really care about the band, not just the singer.
Yeah,
which goes a long way. You know
so,
what I mean?
So you were. I mean, you kind of say that you knew about the band through like kind of your roommate, but yeah, were you a yeah. fan of the band really? Or was it like, you're just like, oh yeah, they sound pretty cool. Like kind of yeah, yeah. in the background and like, I'll check it out.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that Take the Crown played with Bless the Fall at Chain Reaction. And that's when they were still a four piece. Well, they had like a fill in bass player and they were practicing for like Taste of Chaos or something along the lines. And so we opened up for them and I remember watching them be like, dude, this is sick, man. Like,
yeah.
That they're a good band. Like they're just a good band. Like I wasn't a fan necessarily. I was a fan in that I thought the music was great, and that's what, you know, I wouldn't have joined a band if I didn't think the music was good.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, it's a crazy story. Like I still have the ticket somewhere, like, cause I save all my ticket stubs and stuff like yeah. that. So I still have the ticket somewhere with Take the Crown and Bless the Fall.
So with Craig, so you came in and you replaced Craig and he was like a singer screamer, both guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're just a singer. Have you like, what's that? Why are, do you not kind of know how to scream? You're not comfortable with it.
Well, I do more now. Actually, I've kind of just learned by process of failure, and
that's the only way to learn.
You
I
know
think.
What I mean? Yeah. yeah. So I'm like, I was really worried about my voice. You know, I was like, I sing, I don't know. I've never tried screaming, you know? So, but live more and more, I've picked up some parts here and there, and especially with, Jared plays and screams at the same time. So I've picked up parts to do, you know, and there's like there was one time where like something broke of Jared's and he had to leave and I just kept screaming the part.
Oh yeah.
You know? And so, his scream is insane. Like I cannot replicate what he does.
I
do sort
screamer.
Of like a fake cup the mic thing. You know what I mean? Like, and like, I'll admit it, you know, I'm just like, I'm trying things, you know? Yeah. And it's fun, you know, it's fun when you do it right. And, you can do it all. And that's insane that you do as much as you do.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know. There's days like, I don't know if people can tell in my voice, I'm like a bit sick right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had a cold, like just, okay.
Just a regular common,
just a common yeah. cold. But of course, you know, for me, I always get like, I get a sore throat and then a couple of days later it gets stuffy. And then, mm-hmm. and the stuffy part for me, like when my nose is running,
yeah.
Which I'm just kind of getting over now, is the worst when I have to yeah. sing. And of course, you know, we just got back from South America
yeah.
and I'm like, oh God, this is the worst timing.
Yeah. It happened, you know? Right when we were going.
So how does your voice hold up on tour?
It does pretty well. I think for me, a cold just means I sound more nasally. I sound like I'm in Green Day or Tom DeLonge or something at that point.
Yeah. It doesn't affect like your breathing or anything too
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. It's okay. It's when you get into like the chest area and throat, obviously. Like on Warped Tour, I was pretty healthy throughout the whole thing, and I got a random weird throat thing. Like I think, I don't know what it was. Like everyone got like this like weird throat infection. I felt like it spread throughout the camp,
because yeah.
And so I got it, and I was able to kind of squeak through, and I was okay. But I had a couple of rough days for me personally. Like my yeah. voice cracked and stuff. I'm like, oh, it's so embarrassing, but no one else notices really, except for the guys with the in-ears on, right?
That tends to be what it is. Yeah, I know. It's funny how, you know, I think most singers, myself included, we're our own worst critics, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of
and,
course.
And half the time you miss a note and you think it's terrible and, yep. you know. And so.
Yeah, so, no, it holds up pretty well. I try to stay as healthy as I can on tour. I try to eat well, and I try to get a decent amount of sleep and stuff like that. And I think that's all you can really do. And if you're going to get sick, it's like inevitable. Like if someone on the bus is sick and it's contagious, you're going to get it. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
going to spread.
I mean,
it's all
close,
recycled
the
air.
The close quarters are tough. For
I
sure.
know, man. But yeah.
For sure. So yeah, I guess like what's next now for you guys? You guys have a new record out.
Yep.
Tell the people about it. Plug it a little bit.
Yeah. To Those Left Behind, it came out last week. And we're super stoked on it. And it's just us kind of stepping it up ourselves. You know, there's some songs on there that you probably would never expect from us. There's a song that almost didn't make the record, and it's kind of an R&B like vibe to it. And it was supposed to be like an interlude, and then we ended up putting vocals on it, and it sounded sick. And we're like, dude, let's put this on the record. Like,
right.
It sounds awesome. And so there's a couple curveballs on it and a couple quintessential Bless the Fall songs and, you know, some big like ballad bangers as well. And we just write what we like. We don't really like, you know, once you're a band for a certain amount of time, I feel like you're writing music that you love to write, period. I think that's what everyone should do. And if one of those songs happens to get popular or like if it gets put on the radio or something like that, and then so be it, like, cool. Right.
Well, the record's great. Yeah. I think it's probably your best record. And
thanks,
I think,
man.
Vocally, for you,
yeah.
And Jared too, for that matter, but for you, especially, I think, the record is really shine on it.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Who'd you do the record with? Is Joey?
We did it with Joey.
Joey Sturgis.
Joey Sturgis is an amazing mixer, producer, engineer, and he's a master of his craft. He's kind of created this sound that I think a lot of other producers in our genre are trying to kind of emulate. So he's kind of a pioneer in that. You know,
yeah.
I think he gets some shit about it sometimes about like, oh, he's using fake drums here. And it's like, I know we recorded our drums. Yeah, I was there. We also went to Eric Ron. We actually tried to do something we've never done before. We did like co-writes. And this dude named Eric Ron is an absolute genius, melodic genius, and just a cool dude. And so this was a first time for me to like open up to someone else and kind of bring him in like a sixth member of the band. You
oh,
know?
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, here are my lyrics. Here's my melodies.
And so he helped you with your melodies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so it was like, he goes, well, this is what I'm hearing. And I'm like, wow, that sounds sick. Cool. Let's write a song, you know? And so it was the first time that we'd ever worked with a co-writer. And I think sometimes some bands are scared to admit it or scared to branch out and do that. But I feel like for a band like ours that has been around for a while and working on the fourth record, fifth record, you know what I mean?
Right.
You kind of need to, you need that for like some freshness and from, you know, to work outside your box. And so I think that was the most important for me and for the band to come up with something that is a lot different. And I think it shows and I think it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe that's why I noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. I mean, anytime you can up, I mean, that's the thing with Silverstein too, is every record we've tried to outdo ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that whenever you have to do to take that step, whether it's like for us on our fourth record, we wrote a concept album, you know? So we did that to try to like, to try to, you know, change things up. So whatever you have to do to switch it up to really like be able to take that plunge into where you need to go, I think is important.
Yeah. And especially with like, being on tours like Warped Tour where you're reaching like a whole new fan base. Like a lot of times half the people in the crowd may have never heard you before, but know your name and want to come check it out and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, you want to just be at your best. You want to be at your top. You don't want to take a step back, you know, obviously with anything, you know? So I think we're in the same position as you guys. Like every record from here on out, it's just topping ourselves and pushing ourselves, creatively and, you know, musicianship wise and vocally, you know, I feel like I got pushed further than I ever have. Like there were songs that I was afraid to sing because I'm like, holy shit, these notes are really high or these notes are crazy or it's not something I would typically do that's in my comfort zone. So I had to get out of my comfort zone.
Right. So you had a combination of the guy helping you write and then the producer pushing you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really great. Yeah.
And Eric was awesome because he loves R&B and like rap and stuff. So I'd be in the booth like listening to Drake, like turning up. You know what I mean? Like I'd be turning up in the booth and be like, yeah. And he would just like let me do my thing. I just like get all hyped up, you know what I mean?
Nice.
And have a good time where we listen to like Tove Lo and stuff, like for kind of that pop sensibility. And so we just got along perfectly.
Terrific.
And we understand. So hopefully, you know what, maybe like next record, I would love to work with him again and see what we can kind of create together.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's fantastic. So I guess you guys, now that you guys have the record in the can, and I guess you're probably getting to get your first week numbers and all this stuff is going to happen. And then I'm sure you have a whole lot of tours booked. So what's going on with the tours?
We're doing October 20th is the first day of the To Those Left Behind tour. I wanted to call it the Tour Those Left Behind, but I got outvoted. I think it would have been a lot cooler and easier to say. No, we're going out with Stick to Your Guns, Amorosa, Ocean's Day, Alaska, and Cane Hill. And I think these days you kind of have to put a night out together for kids to come out, and we got a great night out.
Great package.
Yeah, so Stick to Your Guns are unbelievable. They have an amazing, amazing core fan base that, like, we need to, like, kind of, I feel like we're going to need to step it up as a band. You know, like, when you're playing after them, is not something you normally want
to
do, because they
have people pushing you.
Yeah, and so they definitely push us. They're really good friends of ours. In fact, I'm like, come share a bus with us. Like, we just, like,
yeah,
you know, they're awesome dudes. Amorosa, super talented. I've known all those guys, you know, for a long time. Their new singer's amazing. They're on Warped Tour for a little while, so
yep.
They did awesome. And Ocean's 8 Alaska, we played with them out in the UK before, and they're in another awesome band. I think their first US show was at Chain Reaction and sold out, which is amazing. Like,
sure,
you know, yeah, what I mean? Wow. So it's gonna be fun, and it's gonna be a lot of they call them secondary markets, where
I saw the routing.
It's all around.
I looked at it, and I'd say some of them are C or maybe D markets, yeah, in there. So, I was actually surprised at some, yeah, of the, because I'm like I've never been to that,
yep,
city, let,
yep,
alone that venue.
And, I know, you know, we're like, we're, the thing is, the plan here is, I don't want to give away our whole strategy, and or people might not even care, but there's about 7,500 other tours going on this fall. Huge tours. Bring Me the Rise in Paris Issues are going out. I think Parkway. I think who else? August Burns Red. And
Silverstein,
you know,
Senses Fail.
Silverstein Senses Fail. You know what I mean? Like, so you see, yep, these huge tours that are going on in the major markets, right? And so our plan is to stay out of those.
It makes sense.
And play for these cities that some cities we've never been to, smaller rooms, things like that. It ends in Anaheim, which isn't a secondary market, which is an amazing market, and at House of Blues. So that's like, that's going to be a banger. You know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yep.
And then
one
there's
of my favorite
places like
in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love that. That's why you're at Disneyland. But then there's some cities we've never been to. And so it's going to give those people a chance who've never seen us, probably, cause we've never come there, to come out and to, not have stiff competition being, yeah, so, you know, so close. So, hopefully it works out.
That's,
and then
great.
I think, and then we're going back to South America with Asking Alexandria in December. And, we're doing like Chile and Argentina and Brazil. And then hopefully, you know, who knows where we're going from there. I'd imagine we're probably going back out fairly soon after that. There's nothing, yeah, been announced yet, but
well, with, I mean, your schedule coming up, is Lights going to be on tour too?
She will be on tour. She's doing a fall tour as well.
So that must be,
yeah,
that
must be
hard
for you guys. It's gonna be planning. We're like, we get 3 days off on our next tour, and so I have to figure out where the family's gonna be on those days off, so I could fly and see them.
So is like Rocket gonna go out with her?
Yeah, yeah, Rocket will be out with her, and yeah, it'll be pretty crazy again.
That must be crazy. So do you guys have a nanny or something that goes along?
Yeah, her mom comes out.
Yeah.
So she's got, Rocket's grandma. Got grandma with her. And so she's become pretty close to grandma, and family's everything.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So we're pretty lucky to have that there. Is we don't have to hire like some random nanny to come.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, you got a busy rest of the year, yep, you and Lights. And then I guess Christmas time, you'll probably be all together and do something special. That'll be really nice.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm like,
3 months till Christmas. Less than 3 months.
And that's the next
thing. And
next
when there's people listening to this, who even knows? Maybe
who even knows
maybe
when
a month by the time this comes out.
And like the other night I was like, I tweeted, I'm packing and I won't be home till December 15th. That, which is insane. You, yeah, know what I mean? I literally like I left and I'm going all over and I won't be back till then. And that's the next time I get to see our home. So, but it's worth it for the, you know, I just want the fans to know and the people that support us to know that how much we put into this lifestyle. You know, it's not glamorous by any means. We're not these rock stars that everyone kind of sometimes,
no,
other bands try to portray that they are, like, oh, look at my car that I'm renting, that's so sick, or look at my, you know what I mean, like they're putting out, yeah, this vibe that there's this whole rock star lifestyle, like look at my bus and stuff. It's like, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of sacrifice. And
well, that's you and Lights, you're working musicians.
Yeah,
that's what you are. Yeah. And you have a child, and that makes that
10 times
even
harder,
harder,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it probably makes it way less glamorous as much, yeah, as people want to romanticize the whole,
yep,
thing.
Yeah, sure. So,
I think it's good to set the record straight, you know,
yeah,
with that, because it's true. A lot of people, and you're right, even other bands, they see it and they'll say, oh yeah, you know, look at Bo and his perfect life.
Yeah, I'm like,
and
dude,
it's like, well, I mean, I'm sure you don't have that many complaints, but at the same time, there's probably times when you're like, man, I wish I could just slow down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's been cool. The band understands, and we've had these gaps, like, since Warped Tour, since we've been on there. I haven't done anything. So, yeah. I mean, I've been traveling with the family and stuff, but, like, you know, I've got this little chunk of time off, which is really good. It would be, like, 2 months, you know, once we go back on the road, it'd have been, like, 2 months since our last show. So I think that's probably one of the biggest gaps in time we've had, you know, like, so the band understands that I do need some breaks here, and we all do, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, as much as you want to work and as much as you need to work, you also need your time to decompress and just enjoy life, enjoy being home for a minute. So
absolutely,
yeah. So cool.
Well, thanks. Well, yeah, thanks, dude, for joining me here at my house. And
yeah, of course.
First podcast in my house, and
that's really,
yeah. Thanks for coming over,
dude. Awesome. Well, we're gonna go listen to the trains drive by.
This,
and,
yeah, this one right now. I wonder if they can hear it. Yeah, this will be good. Cool, this will be a good test, anyways, to see if I can still do podcasts
here. It's
true.
Well,
great, awesome, Bo. Man. Thanks for everything, man.
Yeah, dude. Handshake.
All the best.
Yeah, can't wait to hear this back.
Yeah.
See you guys.
So there it is, my conversation with Bo. You can tell that we recorded that a few months ago, I guess, if you're an avid Bless the Fall fan. But the new record, To Those Left Behind, is out right now, so go check it out. I'm going to leave you with a classic Bless the Fall song that we mentioned in the podcast. Here's the song, Hey Baby, Here's the Song You Wanted, on Lead Singer Syndrome. We'll see you next week.
Hey, this is Bo. I can't get to my phone right now, but when I'm done being awesome, I'll call you back.
Hey, Bo, you are a f***ing liar. You are worthless. I never want to ever talk to you or see you again. So go f*** yourself. F*** you.